Blog Talk Radio.
Quarantina Mania, stories from quarantine, different tales and tables at Steph. All right. Glad you're here today. That was a great song called I Pray, Rhonda E. Just a good song. Just love the beat. Anyway, here we go. We are got another show today. This is Quarantine Mania. And, you know, it's just really interesting what's going on in the world right now. And as you know, people are adjusting on so many different levels. In some cases, it's so darn overwhelming, literally overwhelming, just, you know, with all the information that's coming our way and everything that's happening. It is just, you know, to get a real grasp. You marry that with the fact that for the most part, most of us are having to spend most of our time in our houses, either with our family, with our kids, or sometimes by ourselves. And then, you know, occasional joints out to see somebody through the window or something like that, or go to the store. It is definitely, you know, something that wears you a little tired. Now, hopefully most of us are trying to get outside every day and take a little walk or do a little stretch or just, you know, get a feeling from the world. Definitely detach ourselves from the TV and the radios and everything else. Just kind of quiet our mind. Just listen to what's really going on in our world, you know. And, of course, we're at a transition because suddenly 2.5 months have passed, and now people are starting to hear that some states are opening and certain people are just frustrated. Won't get into all that in as far as the different politics about it. It's, you know, people who are at home, who are not working, who are generally healthy but can't go to work because the job is not an essential service, are hurting. Unemployment checks and payments to the average person is just still not there yet. In some cases, people are waiting 5 or 6 weeks and still haven't seen any of that money show up. And there's rent due, there's bills due, and people are going through a lot of stress. Therefore, when you take that into consideration with the fact that some places need to open up to start getting some business happening, it's a little scary. And the reason it is because here's the deal. We're still so far from being out of the woods, no matter what anybody tells you. And the sad commentary on what's been happening in the last 48 hours is certain people at the top are suggesting that there's going to be some casualties that we're all warriors, and that maybe we're just going to go ahead and, you know, sacrifice our lives just to be able to get through another, you know, day. So we're really, really at a place right now where we're just getting bombarded with a lot of yucky stuff. And that's why Quarantine Mania is so important. That's why our show is, because I want to hear the crazy stories, the good stories, the funny stories, and the different tales of my incredible circle of fellow human beings out there. You know, I want to hear the stories from the north, from the south, in the middle, what you're dealing with, how you have learned how to become a gourmet cook or a great guitar player because, you know, that's all you've been doing, how you realize you're never going to talk to your significant other again, even though you've been with them for 40 years. You know, I want to hear about your kids deciding that they don't need to go to, you know, take a driver's test and they can just go ahead and get behind the wheel and take some joyrides, all kinds of crazy stuff. All right, and that's what we're going to be doing. I wanted to let you know that it's an amazing time to get some things that really, really are important. And that is go through your stuff and find stuff that makes you feel good. You know, maybe it's old pictures, maybe it's old tapes or recordings or CDs or something that you have and you like that you say, you know, one of these days I'm going to get to it. Then what I want you to do is take that box, whatever the heck it is, and go outside. You have a little area outside, maybe a little table. Make yourself a really delicious, something great to drink. Maybe even something to, you know, munch on, and open that box up and see what you find. And then I want to hear about those stories. I want to hear about great finds and things that, you know, you need to tell another human being about. Like, you know, possibly it could be, you know, one of the original, silver certificates that your great-grandmother gave you back in, you know, the 50s or something. Or maybe it's something a little bit more daring, like, you know, maybe a picture of that guy from camp, you know, or that girl from camp that you haven't thought of that much in the last 40 years, but you certainly can remember. All right. Trying to be a funny guy. All right. I think I'm going to bring somebody onto the air right now. This is somebody who's calling in. Hi, you there with us?
Hi, is this Stuart Glasser?
Yes, he's calling.
This is an old friend from 55 years ago from Brooklyn. I've been told about your show from my friend, from Maxine Rearson, whose daughter is a nurse in Seattle. She listens to you all the time. And
this
is through the grapevine that I'm calling in. This is Adrian Cattershaw from Brooklyn.
Adrian Cattershaw? Oh, my gosh. You know, I can't believe it. I think about you. I thought about you not that much recently, but I have. I can't believe that you found me. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I didn't look for you. You just popped up. I didn't look for you. You popped up on Facebook. And after, I know. I thought about you because your girlfriend was my next-door neighbor, and I heard you through the walls. Stewie Glasser, I am so proud of you. You have your own talk show. You are the most wonderful guy. You are always my best friend, and I had the most amazing childhood with you.
Holy smuck, I can't believe it's you. This is really a complete surprise.
I was always full of surprises. It only took 55 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we can't discuss certain things on air. No, this is your show. You started, baby.
No, you can say anything you want. Okay, now I'm going to be totally honest with our listeners, okay? I have to be because there's so much I want to say right here. So this is a true story, except this girl, what happened was I was on Facebook about a month ago, and suddenly, all of a sudden, I see this name, and I go, could it be? And I look a little further, and I see the picture, and I knew it was her. So what did I do? Did I write you, or did I call you, or did I ask you to be my friend, I think, or something, right?
You texted me on boomers.com, and I went, Stewie Glasser, Mill Basin, Brooklyn? And you said, yes. I said, I'm going to hurt myself. And then I said, send me your number. I spoke to you a little bit, but you mentioned your show, and I haven't spoken with you, and I wanted to call in and share my experiences with isolation. It's not Woodstock, baby.
Exactly.
It's isolation.
Right. So first of all, tell me where we'll take the middle part of it and we'll put it to the left. But right now, where are you now? What part of the country?
I'm on the patio.
I'm
on the patio. I just moved 11 months ago from New York. I was a teacher in Queens and Bayside for 40 years, special education. I got married late. So yes. So this isolation is good for me.
So now you moved from New York, but where to?
I'm now living 20 minutes outside Charleston in an elder community, over 55.
Wow.
I knew you when we were 13. I am now going to be 70 July. Like, we're old.
Amazing, I know.
So I live in Elderland.
Wow. So what an incredible adjustment. But, I mean, seriously. And so Elderland is, like, not only is it Elderland, but it's, like, not Brooklyn Elderland. It's, like, a totally different environment. So what is it like?
It's camp with a lagoon with fountains, which is beautiful. But you've got, you know, mommy and daddy's like, you know, we're young and cute 70-year-olds. These are like older matronly, at least on my block.
But
it's not for me. You come from Brooklyn. You come from any city, L.A. You come from anywhere. There's San Francisco, Seattle.
I love Seattle.
You miss the transportation. You know, you miss the I just hate driving everywhere. That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah, it's true, because down there everything's more spread out and stuff, right? So you got to always be in the car.
Well, it's about 7,000 homes on one little road. They did no pre-planning because everybody's into just the business of real estate. And we had to move. My husband, you know, took ill a while ago and a few years ago, and he needed warm weather, and I hate Florida because it's all the teachers I taught with. I don't play mahjong, and I don't do pickleball and schmeckleball and salmon ball and princess ball. I don't do that. But let's get into isolation. So, it's been quite interesting for me.
Let me just ask you one question. So your husband's doing okay, though, right? Everything is good down there. He's physically feeling good.
Well, as good as can be. You know, I never lie.
Okay.
I'm honest. I'm trying to tame my mouth so I don't talk so fast so your listeners can understand me.
We
cook, we fight, and then we drink wine, and then I have cheese and crackers, and I look at the fountain.
Yeah.
And then I started coloring, and then we fight, and then it's time to clean, and then he cooks, and he's a phenomenal Italian cook. He could probably work with you. And then then I color, and I don't go through boxes, but I do bring out the vino and the cheese, and I have a few neighbors. I do a good deed every day for my 92-year-old neighbor.
Very
no,
nice,
that's what
of course.
You need to. Everyone has to do one good thing a day, because
I agree.
That's what I feel is a mitzvah, like we say in Jewish. It's a mitzvah,
You did one good thing today. You always make me feel great and smile. I'm so glad to hear your voices. Can you believe it? We're right here. We're on the radio. People could be listening and all that stuff. But. So,
oh, my God, and I'm being on my best behavior. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well,
yep.
Okay, well, I got to get you started. So, like, basically you explain, you know, what you're doing, where you are, but then you figure out the quarantine thing on top of it. Now, if you were just moving down there and everything was normal, you could go here, go there, do this, do that, it'd probably be a heck of a lot different. But now you have to get used to a totally new place, and at the same time, you're, like, under lockup, you know?
Well, this is the deal. We moved down here last May. We did run around by the time we unpacked in June a little bit. It was like 195 degrees. I like the seasons in New York better, but my husband couldn't take the cold. So we did Charleston a lot. We did a few beaches. You know, they're not Long Island beaches. They're not Vancouver beaches. They're not Seattle beaches. They're not your beach on the island.
Right.
It's mud beaches in Charleston Harbor. But it's beautiful. It's lovely. You know, the food's okay. I find the food better in Seattle and San Francisco, the fish. But
it's supposed to be some really, really good chefs down there, you know.
It's phenomenal.
But it's going to be like just some different kinds of food. It's a little different, but you should get some good seafood there, right?
Yeah, but I eat different kind of seafood. I'm not an oyster chick, and I'm not a mussels chick. I like a piece of well-done swordfish with vegetables and a salad. I eat like a Brooklyn girl.
Yeah.
My husband's
and
Italian. He'll have I'll play with the inside of the bread, like the white meat. No. My husband is the gourmet chef, and he's the Italian, and he's the one that loves fine dining. And me, I'll find, chicken, fish. And, filet of soul. But Seattle took my breath away.
Seattle's got, oh, my gosh. Well, it would even next time you come in this neck of the woods, you'll even have your breath. I mean, who knew that we all could cook, that you'd have really good cooks in your life? So what's his best Italian dish? What's the favorite thing that he likes to make?
The most, because it's Sunday, he has 52 first cousins from the Bronx. His father had 18 brothers and sisters. Yeah. In Harlem, his grandma lived. And he remembers the Sunday he makes the sauce from scratch. Takes about a few hours. Then he fries the meatballs and the sausage or whatever else he does. And then he puts it in there and it simmers. And it smells like Sunday to him. And that's his favorite dish. But he does, chicken franchise, shrimp franchise. There's nothing the man doesn't do. But he's quiet.
He
measures. I just throw everything in because I'm hyper. I'm the worst cook. I won't even eat my own food. It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. Even during isolation, I'm not taking cooking classes because it's pathetic.
Yeah.
I don't have an interest in it.
That's the whole thing. If you don't have an interest in something, you don't even want to. Why bother even doing it? So some of us like to eat, and some of us like to cook, and some of us like to do both. So that's what we do. But
he makes two meals a night for me. He makes a meal for him because he's potatoes and meat, and I'm chicken and vegetables, or fish and vegetables, or pizza.
Nice.
They have one Chinese restaurant here. They have nothing here. There's nothing like New York.
Probably don't have very good pizza. Probably not great pizza either.
No, it's the thick dough, like from the 1930s. No good.
Oh my God! Wow.
And it's all
crazy.
The sauce. It's all the sauce, and I don't like any of the sauce here. And they zhuzh it up with the salt.
Do you like sauce that's a little sweeter?
A little what?
Sweeter, like a little bit sweetness.
Oh, I thought
you
said tweeter. I was thinking of Donald Trump. I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
Do I like it sweeter?
Let's talk about that in 2 seconds. No, so you like your sauce? Do you like it a little sweeter, like with sugar or honey?
I just like it. Just I don't know what I like. I just like a certain sauce. I have no idea. I don't know how to. Don't know.
I'd be very curious. So, but does your husband nail it? Does he get that sauce that it's kind of close to what you like?
I don't. You know, he makes the. Anything he makes is good. You know, his sauce is the best I've ever tasted. But, you know, put it on chicken and whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's enough with that, and that's enough with the husband. Hi, TV. Hi, Radio Land. I'm sure you're interested in my husband's cooking. Let's talk about isolation.
I want people to know who you are. Yeah, let's talk about it because it's fucking crazy. Excuse the language. It is really
okay,
nuts.
Though, I'm looking at my lagoon. Remember, the only water I ever saw was in my bathtub or the Cross Island Parkway going over. I don't see water in New York. You know what I mean? I'm looking at an alligator.
Yeah, you fill up the sink. Say, let's go to the beach. You fill up the bathtub. Anyway.
Exactly.
So you're looking at an alligator.
I'm looking
right
at a 12-foot alligator. I've become Nancy Nature.
God.
He lives in my lagoon. We are the second biggest lagoon.
I sent you an article about something that happened in South Carolina about an alligator. Did you see that?
I read it this morning, and then here he was full naked on someone's land across the berm, and here he goes. He's going back up to get a little tan. But this is where I live. It's beautiful. I wouldn't want to be quarantined anywhere else. God did this. Because he knew what was coming, and he put me in a home that I could be outdoors and love nature, and we have shrubbery,
and it's quiet. You don't have to deal with it.
It's a little too quiet, too,
I know, but that's okay. But the couple of pictures that you sent me, it looked really beautiful over there. You know,
we have to change.
You posted.
It's zen. It's a new norm. The new norm is there is no old norm. This is a whole new theater production.
You were just getting your feet wet over the last couple of months, and then this thing hit. So you'd only been there by the time the quarantine started. We were only there, 6 months or something like that, right?
Yeah,
seven
but
months.
I was used to being quarantined because when my husband was sick, I had to stay in a year and tend to his needs because I wanted to because I'm a good girl. I was wild.
Yeah.
I taught special ed. I got married late. But I'm you know, my heart. I put everybody in front of myself, and I would do for everybody. And I love
it. And you know what? Seriously, I swear that even though all of this time has passed, just talking to you and just having you in my presence and being in your presence, it just feels so great. It's just such a great feeling because I just remember our friendship. I remember we seriously were buddies in those days, you know. And look how much shit that we've gone through since then. Holy smokes.
But we remain the same. Don't you? We are who we are. I got sidetracked.
Most of us have.
We've gotten sidetracked because where the baby boom is, and we're looking at the kids. It's because our governor lifted the restrictions last week, and he put them into effect 3 weeks ago, and now the curve is going up. And the kids are at the beach, and they're not social distancing, and no one's wearing masks. If you go into a classier area, they wear masks. But nobody gives a damn.
Crazy.
But then again, you know, we were wild, and our hair, nobody could see our eyes, and our parents fainted from us. But this is different. This is the world. This is not our home. This is not a fad from the Beatles. This is a new world. Like the bread line and the swine flu. We are living history now with a man that is not caring about the people that he represents.
No.
and that I don't want to really get into politics here.
Let's get into it a little bit, because I mean, today, this is where this guy is so selfish, and he's sacrificing lives for the warriors. Like, they have to go into the lion's den, and maybe you're going to get eaten, but it's all for the good, all for the sake of good. But besides that, that's one thing. The other thing is the fact that today, 17 points for the Center for Disease Control came out. Just real, it says if you're going to reopen, this is what we have to do. 17 things. Distancing, you know, masks. Trump rejects it and says, we don't need that. We're not going to listen to it. We're going to do it our way. This is how sick this person is. They worked on this plan of reopening for a month and a half, couple of months. They came up with 17 really clear guidelines, which will save lives, allow people to go back to work, to have a little bit more stuff going on in their lives. And before the guy could even take a sneeze this morning, he decides to completely reject it. It's the guidance on the reopening and how to do it safely, and Trump says, nope, we don't need it. This guy said,
well, he doesn't want it, and he's not going to, and he said, well, he told the state of Florida where I have my condo. My brother just passed, so I own a condo in Florida that my mom had since 1974 in Lauderdale. And
wow.
He told that governor, you can open the economy. You know, they would go down there for spring break, and he told them not to report the numbers, and he's deflating the numbers. So it's 1.2 million in the United States, and I'm sure that means it's 2 million, whatever. I have no idea of the cases. Now it's hitting children. The second wave, they're getting high.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and let's get back to Mr. Trump. I am a school teacher, and I taught for 40 years special needs. As far as I'm concerned, we're all special ed because we all have special needs. We all learn in different ways, and we all have different feelings, and nobody should be not validated for the way they feel. There are facts and there are opinions. My opinion is the man is a bully. This is not a role model for children. Spitting on, like, the nurse yesterday with the body language, crossing the arms, telling her to, be quiet on national TV. It was National Nurses Day.
Right.
They are like the firefighters at the World Trade Center.
He was nasty. He was so nasty to her.
But he is nasty. But he is nasty.
Oh, no question.
You know, he is nasty. He doesn't care.
He couldn't stand her telling the truth. And he is so much into his effing ego. You know, the guy is, he's just nuts. He's stupid.
Yeah, but he lived in Queens with me. And his dad put him in military school. They threw him out there. You remember Trump Towers, Trump Village. He
of
was
course.
A real estate man.
Yeah,
so it's like putting it's just the role model. It's his not caring. Go to a hospital one day and go in and look to the screen and write a little kid a note. I'm the president. My heart hurts for you. He only cares about the economy and not the people, and that's the difference. Michelle Obama would be a better president. She had a heart. This man has no heart. He only has a wallet.
No, he has.
And that hurts.
That's all he cares about. He says,
I
built this and I built that. And he's just playing with fire. You know, and today his aide, the valet, you heard about that, right? He tested positive for this. This is how close it gets. But do you realize that he's okay? And I wonder why he's okay. I just keep wondering why him and Mike Pence feel so confident that they don't have to put a mask on. Like, maybe it's because there's a vaccine, they've already taken it, and they know that they're not going to get it. This is the scary part for me.
Well, he's a kid. Well, yeah, I feel like, Stewie, I so agree with you. I feel like we are living under Stalin. All these people, his idol is the North Korean man who was in the hospital.
Yeah.
The British Prime Minister had it. We've pulled out of every accord. He does not care. I wished that somebody in his family would get it, so maybe his heart would have a little tingling of empathy. But this man knows nothing. He's a pathological liar. He's a narcissist. He's mentally ill, and I'm so sorry. I knew it, but there's not even terms in my special ed language to say what he is.
Right.
He just goes on TV and lies, and his puppets just shake their heads.
He's a pig. You know, I just think that this is really is worse than a bad dream, because people are right now. It's like a movie. It's like you've seen movies like this, right? We've seen movies like this where there's a bad guy, and then there's somebody who's trying to take over the world, and they poison people's minds. You know, in World War II in Europe. They had to put a number on everybody's arm or a gold star on their jacket to know that that was the person they could sacrifice to get whatever, wherever they wanted to get and do whatever they wanted to do. And Trump is no fucking different. He's lying.
Well, no, Trump is different. He is different. He's the only president that bullies and does his hatred in front of the whole world, and they're all laughing at us. He's the only president that hates his country, his people, except his economy, and he makes it seen on national TV, which makes him look like a fool, but
right.
We don't know where to go. We need a mommy and a daddy to run the country, and we don't have the president anymore, too. So we have to be our own governors. I don't go
out
much.
Well, what's
going to
happen? Is he going to get voted out? Is this guy going to get voted out?
I honestly don't know. I live in a very crazy state.
Where do we have a king
I know,
right now? Yeah, well, you don't live in the best place for the kind of talk that we're making right now.
No, it's not.
But in parts of Washington, it's the same way. Believe me, miles from where I live, there are plenty of people that think he's the best thing since sliced bread. You know, there's many people up in the great
Northwest. But what has he done? What has he done? Every day he's deflecting from an issue from the day before.
He inflated people's brains with this economy. He boasts on how great it is. But you know what? When he talks about the stock market yesterday, it doesn't help my friends who are cooks who still haven't gotten their unemployment yet and probably will have to move out of their house in another 30 days because they don't have any ability to work right now because restaurants are closed and some of them are over 60 and they don't have the greatest retirement in the world. But he talks about this like it's all going to be okay, and that's the scary part. He's at that part of, like I just described, the tattoos and the gold stars. He's marked everybody in the sense of, you know, you're expendable right now.
I really don't know. The governors don't know where to go. The federal government is totally doing, not even working for the country. So we don't have any mommy or daddy figure as a president.
You're right.
So we have to be our own governors. And my governor from New York, Cuomo, is working the hardest, but he just doesn't have the money to make the masks. And the first case, they believe, came in November now.
They
believe it came in November, and he kept it quiet. And then he was told March 4th there were 17 cases in New York, and then 7 or 8,000 by the 14th of March. That was only, goodness, that was like 6 weeks ago. And how much can Governor Cuomo do? It's like he wants us to die like Hitler put the Jewish people on the Nazi train.
That's,
he just doesn't
that's
care.
Exactly
it hurts.
Right. That's exactly right. And the thing is that's why the whole idea of just trying to be safe right now, stay isolated, don't fucking go into public. Wear your mask when you go out of the house. That's the choice to survive. Luckily, you're in an area, at least it's not in downtown Manhattan, where they start knocking on doors, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Because, you know, the testing system that they have and the tracing system is the way to get the stuff under control. But it's like those science fiction movies where you have to have your special little thing to get through the door. I mean, that's what we're living right now. And you're right, we need a mother and a dad figure because this guy is just like, I mean, it's almost like they're throwing us on the doorstep, you know, and locking the door. And that's kind of what it feels like some days.
Some days,
I mean,
let's try 24 hours a day. The man hasn't changed for 3.5 years. He's out without a mask. He should be encouraging it because of his little son, Baron, got it.
Of course.
Which I wish he would have him wear a mask if he went out. And, you know,
of course he would.
You know, but everybody does their own thing. You've got your 21-year-olds, like the Woodstock people that were doing acid. You've got your 21-year-olds that think they're invincible and they don't wear masks and they don't social distance.
Totally,
and you have
right.
the older people that social distance. But now they just found out that the 21, 30-year-olds are having strokes. They're looking into this. They're looking at all
That's
of the
I
cases
heard, yeah.
from November on in the hospitals and what could have caused this and what could have caused that. And Corona's been
right.
with us. It's going to be with us again. This is never going to end. This is the beginning of the rest of our lives. And unfortunately, at 70, it's a good thing. If anyone's listening, it's a good thing if you're a baby boomer that we didn't lock our doors. We played in the streets. You know, our parents were like Ozzy and Harriet. They did the best they could do. Baby boomers, we are the luckiest generation in the world.
It's true. I agree with you 100%. And also because deep down inside our little fetching and our this or that, we have a little bit of sensibility that is keeping us going. You know what I'm saying? And that's, and you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain what it is, but there's we've been through a lot. I mean, you remember, we talked about this in the PS-197 schoolyard that day that Kennedy got shot, remember?
Kennedy died. We were in the schoolyard. And we were having lunch, and we found out. We went hysterical. And I the first bad thing, and then it was a few years later, Martin Luther.
At our age.
And then it
was
his brother.
That was the first real
shock.
We didn't
know what death then.
We were too young to... We were too young to remember World War II. We heard a little bit of stories, but lots of our relatives that were involved in Europe and some of the ones that were in camps and stuff, they didn't want to talk about that stuff. So our first big shock was when we were 11, 10 years old, whatever, and at 197 when Kennedy got killed when we were 12, 13 years old, you know. That was a big shock, but it taught us a whole bunch of stuff, you know.
And then we started, then it was Vietnam, and then we rebelled, but at least our generation –
We had some supervision.
We
were all together.
Yeah,
we did.
We were together.
But we also, all of our friends and all of us in our different groups, we were together and we went through it together. Now it feels like everybody's fighting their own little fight, you know. And
we are.
Amongst the young, you know. And
we are.
It's true, I guess you're right. Yeah.
We all live in a different circumstance. We all have... Different. My girlfriend across the street went to Madison, our high school in Brooklyn, and she has 26 grandchildren, and she's hurting. She can't see them. She sees them through glass because she doesn't want to infect them or vice versa. Then you've got your people that don't have grandchildren or children. I chose not to, and there's a loneliness factor. And when you have a lot of time on your hands, you overthink your issues. That's why what you said is right. So I took up some little hobbies. I just took up coloring, and I love it, and I send it as personal gifts because no stores were open, and my friends loved it because they knew it was filled with love for 7 hours of drawing.
Yeah, that you did it, right, exactly. No, it's
But
true.
Little things
I
mean a lot. We know that.
Yeah. I don't
we're
know,
from
you know,
Brooklyn. Come on.
We're from Brooklyn also. You know, it's the spirit of spring and summer. And I think that we have to take advantage of the next couple of months to try to be outside, to try to, you know, be in the best spirits that we can do and get through it. And then hopefully by the time it starts getting dark and the sun goes down earlier and it really gets, you know, where we feel like we're kind of in our own little worlds, maybe by then we'll be able to develop some ideas and things that are going to be a little bit more optimistic. And by any luck of the imagination, this redheaded carrot top, you know what I'm talking about, will no longer be the president of the United States.
I really don't know, and that's what scares me, the fact that I call him the tan man. He goes in the tanning booth. That's why he's got white under his eyes.
Yeah.
Everybody,
it's
did
like
you hear
raccoon.
Me? There's a tanning booth in the White House. Tanning booth.
Definitely.
Look at his eyes. It's white. It's not Franza.
Absolutely.
It's the real deal. He's got the ultraviolet. That's why he won't wear a mask. He works hard on that tan. And
no
hairspray. We ran out of hairspray in South Carolina because he used it all up. He's friends with Lindsey Graham. He's friends with Lindsey Graham, who's my mayor. He's somebody, I don't know who he is, some man that he's friendly with. Governor?
Yeah.
Something he is.
Yeah, he's a senator.
Well, he's a
he's
big
right
senator
there.
That Trump, that he loves Trump a lot. And that's great.
Right in your
good for him.
He's in your neighborhood. He's a big mafia. Really
exactly. That's why we get as much money as New York. You got it?
I say it in a negative
as much money.
You know what a guy is? You know what a guy is for cup is? Agayashir Cup.
Oh, yeah, Agayashir Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, are we going to be, oh, boy, don't even start me with the Agayashir Cup. Okay, but I will say,
okay.
I, you know, I'm living
code.
In this.
We're talking code. Most people won't understand it.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that I should be happy that my state gets money. But I, in my heart, I'm a New Yorker, and I'm taking away from the 800,000 people. I've had four friends that lost someone, and my girlfriend who's Orthodox, and they go and they live in Long Island, and they tend to, you know, be in groups on Shabbos, which is the Sabbath for the Jewish, for the weekend, and they come to each other's homes, and they go in groups to shul, and a lot of them,
you know,
especially the more religious
Jewish
people. They all
right,
died.
They had a funeral about a month ago. Yeah, exactly. In Williamsburg, they had a funeral in Williamsburg. They probably had about 300 people there, and sadly, a lot of people were lost because of that, too. It's
yeah, but they knew
the
warning sign, so they brought it on, Stuart.
I know. I
when you know something, when you know something, you're not going to take your bicycle and go into a ditch. When you know something, you're going to stay away from the ditch. Why would you go in clumps? And they were still having weddings with 400 people
absolutely.
When they were told social distancing. And that's what I'm seeing at the malls they opened here. We didn't peak yet. We're peaking November 15th. And already he's opened everything because the economy.
Your malls
and he,
are open right now where you are?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I won't go near there. So once again, I'll say the main idea.
Don't go near
that's
there.
That's
our
lingo. I believe. We all have to be our own mayor because I'm not in New York and I don't trust my governor. And that's in New York, whatever Cuomo said I would do. He is my God. He is human.
No, I agree.
He is smart and he loves people and he cares about his people. I have no one that cares about
beautiful.
Me except my friends and my husband.
Yeah, well, I care about you. And,
well,
you know,
now, okay,
like
so you're good. So if you get a vaccine, you'll come fly down and you'll give it to me?
Oh, of course. Yeah, no problem. Listen, I would do that in a second. And you know what? It's just everything that we're talking about and that we're thinking about right now is seems really, really heavy and seems really scary, which it is. But your optimism comes through. Just like think of it in terms of your 7-hour coloring, passing it on to somebody who just really it meant something to. That's what we're talking about, you know? And I think that's when you say we have to live the rest of our lives, it is the rest of our lives every day. And tomorrow will be the rest of our lives for tomorrow. And that's how it has to be. And even before this thing happened, before the, you know, like just talking about on an earlier show today, is that the lessons learned, hopefully, more than anything, is the fact that you can remember going to help out one of your 92-year-old neighbors. Nobody asked you to do it. You made the decision to do that. And this is what we hope that, if anything comes out of this, that people will go back to those ways a little bit more like they did in the old days when we were growing up. Because a lot of people
just
if
I could
just
but if I could cut you off, which is a good nice habit of mine, if you remember, I cut everybody off.
Well, that's okay because
I need to say, I don't know why people give New Yorkers a bad rap. There is nobody better than New Yorkers. We've grown up 35,000 people on a street. We used to go in each other's houses. Mrs. Levy,
absolutely.
Mrs. This one, Mrs. Glare, Cattishaw.
Yeah.
We were respectful. Yeah. We were great kids. We were street. And we know what's right and we know what's wrong as far as interpersonal relationships. So New Yorkers, they give them a bad rap. Maybe the tourists, but not the people that really grew up there. No, we are the most delicious people, honest. And I have nothing bad to say. I just love New York. And that's who we are. You can't take who we are out of us. You could mend it.
1,000%.
You could, you know, and I could adapt to these new changes. It doesn't mean I'm happy about it because the beginning is the hardest part. You know, all of these songs, the waiting is the hardest part for results of
the
test that you might. Yep.
All
and
right.
Waiting
well,
for November.
This.
I don't want
to
go.
I tell you, it's been great and talking. Well, our show's going to run out in about 35 seconds. So I think we can go about 30 seconds over.
Okay.
It's okay. No, we're going to do part two. I'd like to invite you back maybe tomorrow if you're available.
I don't know. I got to go food shopping tomorrow.
Right.
I think they're getting toilet paper.
Well, We'll figure it out, but I'd like to invite you as a regular guest on our show. We really love having you, and if it's not tomorrow, we'll do it really soon. But I hate to cut us off so quick, and I'll probably
don't cut us off, Stuart. I'm in your life forever. I'm sorry to say that's a threat and a promise.
Of course.
Okay, my love.
Everyone,
you're very fortunate to have Stuarto Glasa in your state.
Well,
you don't know how lucky you are. His food is as real as his mouth, as his heart. You have a beautiful day.
I think the world of you, and I love you, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Goodbye, Seattle.
Right. Bye.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, everybody.